Welcome to Grace Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Thank you for joining us on Sunday evening, April the 14th, 2013.
Let's stand together as we begin tonight's service. There's sunshine in my soul today, more glorious and bright.
There is sunshine in my soul today, more glorious and bright than glows in any earthly sky, for Jesus is my light. Oh, the sunshine, blessed sunshine, when the peaceful, happy moments roll, when Jesus shows.
Donald's going to come and share with us.
Why did they nail him to Calvary's tree? Why, tell me, why was he there? Jesus, the helper, the healer, the friend. Why, tell me, why was he there? iniquities on him were laid. He nailed them all to the tree. Jesus, the debt of my sin fully paid. He paid the ransom for me. Why should he love me, a sinner undone? Why, tell me, why should he care? I do not merit the love he has shown. Why, tell me, why should he care? On him were laid. He nailed them all to the tree. Jesus, the debt of my sin fully paid. He paid the ransom for.
Thank you, Mike. We'll ask the men to come at this time. You know, we had something happen in church last month of March that had never happened in the history of this church. And the guys on the finance committee, our treasurer and everything, they track the money we spend and the money that comes in, and they kind of work through all those things. And so one of the things that happens in any given official board meeting is they look at where we are, and because that kind of helps us know if we're on track budget-wise or not on track budget-wise. And so what was quite interesting was this past March was, as I understand it, was the largest March that we've had in the history of the church in giving since we started taking, you know, keeping those records and everything. It was just a blessing. And so, you know, the whole official board and the staff, we all stood up there, and I wish you could have heard it. It was just like a wonderful bass choir as we sang the doxology together. And a bass choir, of course, is really a bass choir. So, so that was kind of exciting, and it's a God sighting how the Lord has provided for us. But the key is we want to invest it wisely for Him, and that's really the focus we have to have. So, Father, I thank you for the giving, and I thank you, Father, for the way you've blessed us, and I pray, Father, that we'll be wise stewards, Father, that we'll invest in eternity, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Tina. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus, and appreciate that medley tonight. A couple other songs tonight, Day by Day, and With Each Passing Moment, familiar, I believe, as we sing together. Day by Day.
Day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry. Kind beyond all measure, gives unto each day what he deems best. Lovingly, it's part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Every day, the Lord himself is near me, with a special mercy for each hour. All my cares he threw on him and shimmy. He whose name is Counselor and Power, the protection of his child and treasure, is a charge that on himself he laid. As would age, your strength shall be. This the pledge to me he made, and through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus, I've learned to trust in God, through it all.
Okay, I guess, are you going to carry over here? And I think Aaron's going to come over here on this side. I thought we might have some God sightings tonight. We haven't done that in a long, long time. Maybe some places where you've seen God work in the last, 6, 7 weeks recently. Okay, all the way in the back, Gloria.
I said in my Sunday school class this morning I should fill out a visitor's card. I feel like I haven't been here in 3 months. My father fell on Christmas Day and broke his hip, and it was really touch and go a couple of times during the process. The they got his medicine completely out of whack, and there were times that we really thought that we were going to lose him. He turned 88 while he was in the hospital. But the Lord prevailed, and through the prayers of, I know many people here were praying and asked me. I mean, I even saw a couple people in the store, and they would stop and ask me how I was doing. But he's fully recovered. His hip is completely healed and everything, and he would be, if he didn't have arthritis in his knees, he'd be doing great. So that's just really a blessing, and I really appreciate the prayers that everyone had lifted up. He lifted him up, and it's just really was really good to be in church again this morning. I've been going up there quite a bit, and so it was good to be worshiping with the Lord's people this morning.
Well, okay, good. Okay, anyone else? Okay, Jim.
I just again want to say thank you to all of you who have prayed for us. That's. Next month, it'll come up a year since this trial started. Blenda had the massive amount of fluid around her heart, and they had to remove that right away. And then it took almost a month to diagnose what they thought maybe wasn't cancer, but it turned out that it was, and of course, the incurable angiosarcoma. God's been so good to us through these months. That verse this morning you used, 1 Corinthians 10:13, the middle of it, but God is faithful. And he's been faithful to us. Blenda feels good. She actually went shopping on Friday for a couple hours and hadn't done that for a year. And but then she tires, like I say, easier. But still does the things in the house. We share responsibilities these days, and I can really vacuum. That's really good. So, but we want to thank you, and if you would please keep praying. We would be so grateful. Thank you.
Well, you know, if you're alerting us to your skills in vacuuming, that is good information to have. Anyone else?
I thought the song service was a real blessing when Mike started singing. Why? I thought, I think I sang that song when I auditioned for traveling teams at school forever and ever ago. And then Fred ended with "Through It All." And I was thinking, you know, my mind was racing, and I'm just thankful for how I see the Lord, you know, working through our lives and always taking care of us and, you know, blessing us even through the hard times. And, you know, you all walked several of those most difficult, times with us. Janice, terrible staph infection when she was 3, and we thought we were going to lose her. And then, of course, you know, getting the diagnosis of Luke's birth and thought we were going to lose him. And several times I thought I was going to lose him. And then bringing him home thinking, okay, there was bleeding on the brain. What does that mean? Does that mean cerebral palsy? What does that mean? You know, and now he's taller than me. And so, you know, just taking the opportunity to say thank you to the Lord for being with us through it all. And then, you know, watching me and helping me go through the water of taking care of my mother in her last years, which was difficult. And now we have adult children, and it's like, here we go again with new things. And we've got a marriage this summer and 2 graduations. Somebody told me yesterday, well, you're doing it all at one time. And I thought, well, that's true. I'll have a lot out of the way after come August. But anyway, God has been good, and Fred is so kind and faithful and wonderful. So I want to just thank the Lord for all he's done for us.
That's neat. Anyone else? Okay, Gabby.
I shared this with our Sunday school class. Some of them know 2012 was not a really great year for us. There were lots of things that went wrong, and then there were a few bright spots in the summer, but then Nathaniel broke his ankle, and it was me and him trying to do grad school and teach and have a very active baby running around and getting into everything. And so when 2013 hit, we were very optimistic that, you know, it couldn't be as bad as it was before. But all through my life, that I told my dad this one time, instead of handing things to God, I like to say, all right, I'm going to hold them, and you put your hands around mine, and we'll just hold them together. And that way, I still have a little bit of control over the situation. So 2012 just wiped that out of the way, and here comes 2013, and it was the first week of March, and Nathaniel's ankle was better, everything was going well, and I actually had the thought, and I remember because it was on a Wednesday, and my choirs were coming back from festival, and I thought, you know, maybe I've finally got a grip on things again. And we came home, and our refrigerator was broken. And all of our food, and we were having to get all of that, and I told Nathaniel, I said, it's my fault. I had a thought today that I finally had control and I finally had a grip on things. And he said, Gabriel, the devil is a lie. He wants you to think that you have control over your circumstance and your situation, and we don't. But in the midst of God reminding me once again, because I have to keep learning this lesson over and over, he had provided money for the refrigerator to be repaired because we had done our taxes way early. We had done them like the first week of February, so we already had our tax refund back. We're able to pay for the refrigerator to get fixed, and that in the midst of learning lessons, God teaching us lessons, he still protects and provides for us. So that was my big God sighting, and hopefully, I would really like to not have to learn that lesson again, but I have a feeling it's probably going to happen.
Well, thank you. Anyone else?
I'd like to thank the church for praying for me and for this last couple of years of the things that have happened to me. It's unusual for me. I've never been sick before and hadn't hardly ever been in a hospital. And I found out that I really don't like it that much. But doctor told me this week that I'm doing better. He said, you're not there, but you're doing better. So I'm grateful for that. And I'm grateful for all the things that people have done for us. Grateful for my wife. Without her help, I probably wouldn't be here either. So she's the one that keeps everything going for me and keeps my medicine straight and all that stuff. And I'm grateful for all that's happened for me. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. That's good. All right. Okie doke.
I hesitate to. I get emotional. Like Tina.
None of the rest of us do, so that's...
Joel turned 85 on March 30th, and we met for dinner. The kids brought us out here from North Carolina a year ago, February. And because there's one in Ringgold, Kevin, and two in Ooltewah, Christine and Keith. So we met for dinner, the family, and at 11 o'clock at Cracker Barrel, so none of us would have to cook. That's his favorite place. And then we all came home to the apartment up here at Haven. And we had time, just the family, to review his 70th birthday because our son had put it, Ken and, oh, I forgot, Ken came from Dayton, Ohio, to honor his father also. And so we had time just with the family to put on his 70th video that they taped. And he taped it in Dayton, Ohio. So when you see 15 years from the 70th to the 85th, there's a lot of water under the bridge. And it was just a God thing, because we invited a few of the neighbors from the Haven to come and help us celebrate, but they didn't come till about 2 o'clock, which was a good time for family. And in the ministry, the way we've been all over, and the kids have been scattered and they live independently. But when we have family time like that, it's just precious. It was a God thing. Joel's verse is, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. You all know that verse. Lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path.
Well, thank you. Okay, anyone else? Yes, Bobby.
I haven't done this before, but I do want to thank the church for praying for Bob and I, his struggles, and for strength for me to keep up day by day. Every day is a new day. We don't know how he's going to feel or how I'm going to feel. And it's been pretty rough at times, but God is always there. He's always answered our prayers, and he's been to the eye doctor, and his eyes haven't changed in 10 years. They're still the very same. Couldn't do anything better for him. And we went to the diabetic doctor, and the new thing is that he has neuropathy in his left foot and part of his leg. And so we just feel otherwise, generally, his health is good except for the diabetes. So it's just a new day every day for us, and God has always been there with us, supplied. And we just thank the Lord, most of all, but we thank the people here that pray for us continuously.
Okay. Anyone else? Yes, Doris.
I do want to thank the church for, oh, how kind you all have been. And our seat was there when we returned. Nobody took it. But I'll tell you, we've started the year off pretty rough, and I really claimed 40, but I think we both hit a little more than that. But God's been so faithful to us, and some people like his beard, and I'm not sure I do. But I do want to say thank you for the food, the cards, and the prayers, and your concern, because we've had it. And I hope it's passing by. So thank you from both of us.
Amen. Okay.
Carol and I will celebrate our 50th anniversary on the 27th of this month. And when we got married, our life verse was Psalm 48:14, for this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our God even unto death, and he still is.
Amen. Okay, I think Julia.
A few months ago, since I retired, I had no computer at home, and that really is not a problem because I hate them anyway. But occasionally I would need one, so I would go to the library. And I sat down one day next to this young man who turned around and looked at me and said, "Hello, I'm homeless, you know." And I said, "No, I didn't know that." And so we started talking. He's 28 years old, lives in a tent. He comes to the library every day, usually, to charge up his... He has a little phone that has no time on it, but he can play games on it. So he comes and charges his phone. I won't go into any details, but I met him before I read the book that May Lou suggested to the church. And when I met him, I just immediately developed a plan that I thought could get him out of all his problems and get him on, you know, the right way. And nothing seemed to work. And when I read May Lou's the book, same kind of different as me, and then the sequel to that book, there was a line in there from the homeless man that said, the gist of it was, if we homeless people could do what you other people think we should, we'd have already done it, you know. So it's kind of like, it's not as easy as it sounds, and it's not. Our system is not easy to work with. There are obstacles. I mean, like I said, I won't go into it with him exactly, but there's just a lot of things that prevent people from doing what they would like to do. I don't know if I've helped him at all, but I know he has helped me tremendously. He's a really funny, smart young man that happened the circumstances just found him where he is. But I have learned just to be quiet and listen. I'm working on that one. I've learned that I can't fix it and that the Lord can. And I've learned that the Lord does answer prayer because I have prayed for him, and the ladies in my Tuesday morning Bible study are praying for him, and that's really impressed him. So anyway, I just appreciate if you'd pray for David. He has a lot of needs, mainly for salvation, but I know the Lord has a plan for his future as well. And thank you.
Fred, will you pray for David right now, please?
Father, we thank you for Julia and her heart that's tender to your leading, and thank you that she's made a friendship with David, and we pray that you would just encourage this man and help him as he walks through life, that you would bring people into his path that are going to encourage him and point him to you, and continue to help Julia to be able to minister to him as well, Lord. In your son's name we pray, amen.
Okay, I think I saw Kurt back here.
I appreciated the message this morning that you had given concerning how God directly influences and indirectly influences the direction of our lives. And my mind went back to many incidences in my life where the Lord's actually preserved my life and our lives. And one of the things that hit me was, some of you may recall, way back in 1997, remember we were building a new motel in Dalton at that particular time, and I didn't see how I could even break away to take that first Puerto Rican trip down to Mayagüez. But the Lord saw fit to give me strength to do that. But the day before we left, on a Saturday afternoon, my wife and I were returning from a trip down to Atlanta, and we took, I like to take the back roads sometimes, and you see a lot more of country when you get off the interstate. But we were coming up from Jasper, Georgia, and as we were driving, Pat had fallen asleep, and until something hit the roof of our pickup truck, and in looking through the rearview mirror, I saw this huge pine tree fall to the pavement right behind us. One branch had just grazed the roof of our pickup truck, and we somehow got out from underneath the tree where it fell. I related that story to a pastor that next morning, and he asked me to share something with the congregation. Well, that wasn't the end of the story. Later on that day, I believe a testimony time Sunday evening, we had a testimony time, and Hilda wanted to get up and share a little bit of something that happened to her that day as she was returning from a trip over to Bob Jones. I think it was a graduation over there. And on her trip back from Greenville, she was driving down an I-85, rather, and fell asleep at the wheel. And her pickup truck, I believe you had at that time, went off the road and turned over two or three times. And she came out of that unscathed, unharmed physically, and the pickup truck was pretty much destroyed. I never forgot that incident. It was just another one of those major incidents in our lives where we saw God's direct intervention into our lives. I think Satan had some designs at that particular time of preventing that trip, because we left just, I believe it was the next day or two, for Mayagüez, and Hilda joined us down there for that particular trip as well. But it just helped to remind me again that when the Lord directs our lives, he is faithful. And until he wants to take us home, he's going to give us the protection and strength and direction in our lives. But I just happened to think of that when I saw Hilda behind me here. I said, I just got to go ahead and share that. Remind us again of God's faithfulness. We don't know the end of the story yet down there in Mayagüez. I know they're having some struggles there with their pastor, Brother Rodolfo, his health issues, and I believe he's resigned recently. But we just need to pray for that ministry, that the Lord will raise up a new pastor and keep that ministry going, and don't want that to die. And there's a lot of efforts. I don't know how many trips have been taken down there. It's been in the dozens, and probably, I'm going to say, well over 100 folks from this church at one time or other has taken that trip down to work. So just need to remember that in prayer.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a tremendous thing. Why don't you give that microphone? Paul, would you pray for the church in Mayaquez as they're seeking some pastoral leadership and they're having these struggles right now, please?
Father, we thank you for the relatively small investment that we were able to make there, but for the lives that were invested with Helen Wayne and others to build up the ministry for people that have participated and given of themselves. We pray that you would lead them, direct them, protect it, help them to identify new leadership. We trust that you've been preparing somebody, and we pray that you would bring them along in your time. Ask that it would blossom and become all that's been envisioned for it. We ask you to make these things happen in Jesus' name.
Mm-hmm. Always remember when Wayne gave a report to the church, and it's been years and years ago, and he had his slides, and he stood up here, and he started going through. He had pictures of, I don't know how many, umpteen dozen people, and he would say, now, this is such and so, and we baptized them, and they came from such and so, and the Lord graciously saved him, and then he went to the next one, then he went to the next one, then he went to the next one. And what you began to realize was the incredible work that God did through Wayne and Hilda in Mayaquez in reaching into that community for the Lord. And it was just a marvelous, marvelous picture of the grace of God and everything, what he's doing. Well, have you got someone back there? Okay, Joy. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee.
This is difficult because I'm so shy, but I thought I would. And back to what Doris was saying, my mother would be horrified, but yes, he's a hottie with that beard. I wanted to tell you that, Dr. Price. I'm sorry, it wasn't very spiritual, but you can make it. Last weekend, I saw Tina in Target, and we stopped and talked about a few things. She and I both have graduates and then weddings right after that, so we both decided it was probably not a good idea to start drinking at this age and just kind of pray for each other. But as I walked away, I was so thankful for she and Fred. I just thanked the Lord over and over for them. And my heart was just so full of love for them. And just, first of all, I prayed, God, please don't ever take them anywhere else. They need to stay here, which was selfish. But then I got to thinking about our last year or two and how I love this church and the people in it. And yet, you know, I told my mother-in-law, I wouldn't leave this church for $1 million. Feel free to offer, but I would not do it. And when you're sitting here and you haven't been through something that my kids and I have been through, and you hear people say, we love you, it doesn't mean as much as if you've been on the receiving end. And you know, you just feel that love, and you know that this is where, you know, you are with God's people. And I want just to tell you that I know most of you, but those that don't, I love all of you, and we're just so thankful for this church body.
Amen. Well, Dr. Price, that's an adjective I don't think I've ever heard applied to you. Hottie. Anyone else? Okay, Hilda, you get a chance for a rebuttal.
Well, since Kurt brought this and you're talking about the church in Mayaguez, I did receive a letter yesterday. I had it with me this morning, but I changed purses, so I don't have it with me. But Brother Reese from BMI, a missionary for 30 or 40 years, probably more, he had been working with us in that church since the very beginning, and he has a love for the church and for us. He had been since January. He has been, because the Rodolfo resigned the end of December. And Brother Reese has been there, with the exception of 2 weeks, shepherding and leading the church and preaching and so forth. And the letter I got yesterday, he's asking for help and prayer. We did have a man that came. I thought he was a candidate, but he did not preach as a candidate, but they have heard him twice. And the man is looking for a pastor, but he cannot speak. Brother Reese said he does not speak enough Spanish to be a pastor. And his wife does not speak any Spanish either. So we need a pastor, that seasoned pastor, young, energetic, that speaks Spanish. And then, on the other hand, the church does not have the sources to offer a pastor a good salary or a decent salary, because Rodolfo was having his retirement and all the church was paying him was $600 a month. So that's just a little tip. And most of the people, the one that knows the church is older people and fading each other time, and there's not much income coming. And Brother Reese is praying that maybe some churches would help us to offer a decent salary for a year or two while the church grows and get their own sustenance. And that is a need. He also mentioned that the church needs $40,000 for an air conditioner, and that people come and it is so hot that then they don't come back. I don't know how you feel that you need to have air conditioning to go to a church. I didn't grow with air conditioning, so that is not a priority for me. But some people feel that way, and it gets hot over there. So please pray that the Lord, I know the Lord built that church. That is a miracle church, and it's His church, nobody else's. And what He started, He's going to finish. And I know Satan is putting everything just to keep that church is in the heart of Mayagüez, where it can reach so many people. There are about 10,000 university students around there. Brother Reese is preaching right now on creationism, I cannot say. There's a set that he wrote on creation, just creation verses. And he had talked to several students, have come to his meetings and so forth. And there is a tremendous amount of people, especially young people, that can be touched. But we have those difficulties right now. So I know that you are praying, keep praying, that the Lord is going to have the victory, because that's His work, nobody else's work.
Amen. Okay, we might do one more. Okay, Aaron?
I know whenever I generally share, I talk about my work at the Hope Line, and this is no different. But it's a tough job. You know, you hear stories that no one else you know has ever heard before. I mean, you know, kids call in and young adults call in with stories. I mean, it's just tough. And I guess lately I've been given Satan a few footholds into just my whole joy of working there, I guess. You know, you stop seeing it as a ministry, you start seeing it as a job. You know, you focus on the negatives when, because the ministry is, we listen to people that call in, we get them further help. you know, and people to go long-term with them. And so often, either they say, look, you know, I don't want to talk about God with you. You know, I've had it with that. Or, you know, I don't want to do the steps I need to do. And so I was focusing on the negative. That's foothold number two. And recently they went 24/7 and they needed somebody to work the weekends. And I'm thinking the weekends are very sacred to me. Friday nights and Saturday nights are just good times to decompress, and I don't know, it was just a really selfish time in my thoughts and all. So yesterday we had a retreat, and a lot of times you don't see the thank yous that people give. You know, you get them, you talk to them, and you may never see them again, or you might see them so much that you have to say, okay, well, we gotta do something to get you further help, you know, and so there's just a lot of negative things circling in my mind, and I don't know, it's just a bad place. And yesterday we had the retreat, and the leadership just did a fantastic job, and it, you know, I'm just thankful and wanted to praise God for the times that He gives us rest and he brings us back to the truth, you know, because I think anytime we give Satan a foothold, it's when we're starting to listen to his lies, you know, or we're forgetting who we are in Christ, you know. And there's this one section where it was just, you know, they brought up the verse, whatever you did for the least of these, you did for me. And it was just, we took like a mile hike in the woods, and it was just poster after poster of, you know, I was depressed and I had someone to listen to, you know. I didn't care about God and you shared the way with me, you know. And it was just great reminders. And there's a path where you saw actual thank yous that people had given. It was just like, you know, I was thinking to myself, well, who are you, you know? What part of, you know, take up your cross, don't you understand? What part of, you know, make your life a living sacrifice, don't you understand, you know? And so it was just a really good reminder and a good energizer and just a good time for me. And like I said, I wanted to publicly thank and praise God for those times he, you know, wakes us up and grounds us back in truth. So
good.
I could really appreciate prayers for the Hope Line ministry and for everyone involved. You know, it's incredible. One part of the path that we had was 212 stones, I think, and it was the names of individuals that had either come to Christ or indicated that they wanted to make a decision for salvation or a decision to come back to Him. And it's just really powerful, and it's a great ministry. But we do need your prayers more than anything, because it's draining for all of us. But yesterday was a good reminder and a good refresher for the staff.
Okay. Why don't you give that microphone to JD, and would you pray for the Hope Line right now?
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Hope Line and bringing it to this area. We thank you for people like Aaron that spend their time there helping people that have problems, and we pray for the continued ministry, that you would bless it. Thank you for encouraging them yesterday, and pray for the others besides Aaron too, that you would continue to encourage them. Thank you for dying on the cross for us and giving people hope. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you have your Bibles, I want to take just a few minutes that I have tonight and talk a little bit about James chapter 2. And we really started this conversation several weeks ago, and we have looked at it. And really, in James chapter 2, the connection between James chapter 1 and James chapter 2 really goes all the way back to verse 1, where James is a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ to the 12 tribes who are scattered abroad. So these people are refugees. These people are displaced. These people have got some very serious needs that are not being met. And there's all kind of things that need to happen in their life spiritually. And in chapter 1, he begins by telling them, you know, the best thing you can do is when you're in difficulties, you need to have a focus on prayer. So you have your focus on prayer. And then after you have that focus on prayer, then the second focus that you need in chapter 1 is you need to be willing to be doers of the word and not just hearers only. And then in chapter 2, at the end of chapter 1, he says, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit the orphans and the widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted or unstained from the world. And so what he's talking about is he's talking about people that have very, very serious needs, people that have economic issues, that there just doesn't seem to be any way out of those situations. And that makes a nice piggyback into chapter 2, because he says, my brothers, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. In other words, we're supposed to be the same way to everybody. We're not supposed to cater to one group as opposed to another group. And I think that what they were facing in this assembly and what they were facing in this service is these people had needs. And people that maybe had a certain amount of wealth would come in and would
would visit and would want to worship, and the attitudes that people were taking. Now, you have to understand, at this juncture, you're not talking about coming into a building, a separate building, and you weren't going to the first church of Tarshish or something like that. You were going to somebody's home. It was probably home meetings of sorts. It was house churches, that kind of thing. And so as you go into those home meetings, those house churches, it's real easy to cater to people in that kind of a situation because, you know, every seat in the living room is not equal. And so there are some that are more comfortable than others, or some that are more front and center than others. And a lot of times, I don't know if you've been in a lot of house type churches and everything, but as a boy, we began to start a church, and we actually met in one family's home, and they had a nice area to living room to be able to meet. But I want you to know, we carried and we had folding chairs, and some of those folding chairs weren't all that comfortable, and there were some sofa chairs and easy chairs that were pretty nice, that kind of thing. And there were some places that were just, it was just a better situation. And sometimes, you know, if you had too many people there, and of course that's not necessarily a problem you're not sorry to have, but sometimes you actually were put around the corner and you weren't able to see things just as well. You could hear, but you couldn't necessarily see. I remember we took a trip on the East Coast with the kids, and we had our camper, and we were looking for a place to go, and I don't remember if we were, it seems like we weren't very far. Maybe we might have been in Connecticut or might have been in New Hampshire or someplace like that. But we were looking for a church, and we happened to find an ad for this church, and we went to this church, and it was a house. And when we got to the house, it was an old house, and so it wasn't really split really nicely. And we actually had a seat around the corner where we really couldn't see as well. And it wasn't an extraordinarily difficult kind of situation. But the point of it is all things aren't necessarily equal. And what's the biggest issue is what is in what I'm bringing to that service and what's in my heart. In other words, is it in my heart to cater to this situation, to that person, or this situation? And so what he tells us is he gives us this illustration of a man that comes who's very well healed and so forth. And so he brings them to this place, beginning in verse 5. He says, now, and he says, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he promised to those who love him? And so one of the things he wants us to understand is that my bank book doesn't necessarily reflect my heart spiritually. And so consequently, he says, but you have dishonored this poor man. Do not the rich oppress you and drag you into courts? Do they not blaspheme and the noble name by which you're called? And so he kind of puts it in perspective, and he says economics is not really the way in which you make those decisions. And so then in verses 8 through about 13, he tells us, he sets up a series of principles. In verses 8 and 9, he sets up a couple of conditions, and these are real conditions. He says, if you really want to fulfill, and you do, want to fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, you will love your neighbor as yourself. And that's the word, that's the phrase. Now, about 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, we took some time and we studied that expression in the New Testament. And it occurs, 8, 10, 12 times, used in a variety of different contexts throughout the New Testament. And we really talked about who's my neighbor and how do I respond. And I thought that was fantastic what Julia shared with us, because those opportunities abound. And it's just a matter of us being open and receptive to be an encouragement to people and to help people and to willing to be vulnerable with people in the things that they're facing. And so he says, but if you show partiality, if you show face, he says you're committing a sin. That is, you are making a transgression. And his point, I think, would be that there's probably people that say, well, if that's the worst I do, it's not that big a deal. But the text goes on and says, he says, if you really keep the whole law and you stumble at one point, you're really guilty of it all. And that's the thing that I think sometimes we look at. We have a tendency to categorize sin. And we have a tendency to say, well, there are some things that are worse than others. And so consequently, if I've got little sins, that's not as big a deal as if I have big sins. And so it's not like I'm robbing banks or I'm murdering people or I'm a terrorist or something like that. But his point is that even in those small areas, we really decimate our relationship with the Lord. And so he follows that illustration up in verse 11. He says, do not commit adultery, do not murder. He says, now if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you become a transgressor of the entire law. And so his conclusion at the end is, so speak, so do, as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. Recognize that there's a higher law that's going to hold you and I accountable. And then he ends with this statement, mercy triumphs over judgment. The best thing any and all of us can want is the mercy of God. God's mercy in our life on a regular basis. I think what he's saying is all of us just have all kind of problems that we really don't own up to a lot of times. And the best thing that any of us can want is the mercy of God. There isn't any of us that really want or need the full justice, force of the justice of God in our lives. What we need is we need the encouragement and the mercy that God gives us in helping us. And it really, in this text, it really goes in terms of the attitudes and how I deal with people and how I treat people. How I treat people is a very, very significant and important issue along the way. Well, I am the kind of person that I have a tendency to say things and then engage my brain. And so I run off at the mouth frequently, regularly, every day, all the time. I mean, am I overstating that? Probably not. And I'll tell you what, I need the mercy of God. I need people to come back and say, preacher, you went over the line. You know, I do the same thing in my Bible class. And one of the things that I do is at some point in time, I look at all these seniors, these guys and these gals, and I say, you know, it is not in my heart to hurt or embarrass or to be a problem to any one of you. You tell me I've stepped over the line, and not only will I apologize, but I'll do my level best not to step over that line ever again, you know, from that standpoint. I get caught up in an illustration and it's just, you know, whoop, you know, it's just out there and all of that. You know, I need God's mercy. Not just about the stuff I know, but the stuff I don't know. And you know what? So do you. We got to have the mercy of God in our life. So we got to pray for each other, and we have to be involved with people, and there isn't anybody too bad or too good that we shouldn't be willing to minister to and be a help and an encouragement in their life. We need to reflect the love of the Lord, and that's what God's asking us to do. Well, have a great week, and you pray for Mary and I, because I'm always a little timid on the plane. I always like to have a window seat because I feel like it helps me fly. And not that I'm able to do anything, but, you know, it just there's something about that. The Lord is gracious, and I know that we're going to have some great opportunity for ministry and to be an encouragement. So that's really what we want to do. So, Father, I thank you for what you've been doing. Help us to honor you with our whole heart and life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for worshiping with us today. Grace Baptist Church exists to glorify God by knowing Him through His Word, loving Him through worship and obedience, and serving Him by caring for others. For more information about our ministries, please go to www.aboutgracebaptist.org. See you next time.